songs of who God is, the fact that He is holy, and we need to be reminded that in our lives of His holiness, and He is a good God. So 1 Thessalonians, go ahead and turn there. We're chapter 3, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and Michelle wanted me to mention this, I forgot to, but Taylor had her baby the other day, and we would have announced this last Sunday, but she did have her baby the other day, and Adeline, I know I was going to mess that up, no, it was Adeline, and she was born that was a Friday the 13th, wasn't it? It was a Friday the 13th. Noah, you're not alone, okay? You got another Friday the 13th baby. Born at 8 p.m., 7 pounds and 7 ounces, and they're doing well. Taylor was here this past Wednesday evening in Awana. We're like, what? She brought the kids and the baby too. We're just like, well, she's brave. But they came, and so they're doing very well. So thanks for praying for them, and keep praying for them as well. If you want to know who, I don't know if you'd call it winning the guessing game or whatever it was, but Rachel, you guessed 7 pounds, 7 ounces, okay, and that it was going to be a girl. And I think Dolores was right about the weight, but was closer on the time that you got it right. So I don't know if there's a winner in that, but those were, I guess, the two closest, you might say. But yeah, keep praying for them as well. And like Brad said, it's good to see John here this morning. Continue to be praying for John and so forth too. I know they'll appreciate that. But 1 Thessalonians, we've been going through this, and you know, the overarching exhortation in, you might say, 1 Thessalonians is this aspect of the return of the Lord. And really, Paul is trying to exhort believers to, you know, be faithful, to, you know, stand strong until the Lord returns. You know, persevere, you might say, even. In this, leading up to these verses this morning, Paul has encouraged the Thessalonians to continue to be that example of faith. It's an example that they learned in the ministry of Paul and Silas. He also, in this example, it was realized that, you know, people around that area was looking to them for that example. And so Paul brings that out, and so he encourages them to continue to be to live that example of faith. And this was not just a walk in the park. They were under persecution for their faith in Christ, and so Paul exhorts them and encourages them to continue to be that example of faith to the people in that area that need it. And so, as Paul continues that line of encouragement, he also continues to, you know, encourage them in this aspect of keeping a genuine ministry, making sure that you have people who are genuine in their leadership as well. You know, because there's a lot of people who followed Paul around and tried to, you know, do things different than Paul, preach opposite things, false teachings and those things. And so he encouraged them. You saw what genuine ministry looked like when we came. Keep doing that. You saw what genuine leadership looked like. Keep looking for those people. Okay? Don't succumb to the others. And so he's writing this as an encouragement. You know, stay on track, stay focused, and stay focused because you have hope. He's like, you know, you look around in the world that's going, you know, that they had going on then. You know, look around. Yeah, things are bad. You're being persecuted. People are dying, maybe even from the persecution. Whatever it may be, you have hope. There is hope. And he reminds them of the return of Christ and all of this as well. So he said, stay the course. In the early church, these so-called leaders that came into town, they would have been elders, you might say. They were coming into the ministry. Those who were not genuine. And they would take advantage of those people. They would teach them false doctrine. They were not called to be in those roles. And that's something that, you know, we need to always remember. Those people were just coming in to, to either persuade people in their own direction, or they were after their money or whatever they could seek for their own advantage. And so these people, they would follow Paul and Silas around. They would lead them away from the faith because they have claimed, hey, listen, I've heard something from God. You know, God's working through me. You need to follow me. And so Paul, you know, is saying, you know, stay steadfast in all of this. Okay, don't buy into what all these people are saying. And Paul is concerned up to this point that perhaps that has happened, and he wants to hear from them that it's not happened that way, because he knows who the ultimate person is behind all of this: the tempter, Satan himself. Okay. And so in chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul, he is concerned that Satan, the tempter, had drawn them away from their faith in Jesus Christ, leaving them without hope, you might say. All's lost. You know, why do we do this? He's like, no, you have hope. You have a reason for why this is happening, why things are going the way they are. You have hope. Stay firm. Stay there. And so despite the efforts of Satan, Paul was able to hear from the Thessalonians. Paul had sent Timothy, okay, when he couldn't go, when Silas couldn't go, because he said Satan, you know, they were being prevented from being able to go. He said, but Timothy was able to go, and Timothy came. And so in this, Timothy goes, he brings back the report, and in this process, we're reminded that Timothy is not some second-rate person. Just because he was under the, you might say, the tutelage of Paul and Silas, Timothy was not a spiritually immature person. He was somebody who was called into the ministry. Paul called him God's co-worker in the gospel. And more importantly, he also called him a brother in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is trying to encourage the people in Thessalonica, hey, listen, Timothy is not, you know, a hand-me-down, okay? He's genuine. He's been called into this. He has a passion and a desire for the Lord. Listen to him. Give him your report. I want to hear back from you. Okay, and so Paul made it very clear that Timothy is that brother in Christ. He is a co-worker in the gospel. And so Timothy goes, he comes back, he brings this report, and the passage begins with the word but. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, let's read. It says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make your increase and make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us as we look at this morning. Help us to bring glory and honor to you through it as well. And then, Lord, as I preach, Lord, give me the clarity of thought and mind that I need also. We thank you for your word. We ask now, Lord, that you will strengthen us and encourage us. It's in Christ's name. Amen. And so there is this praiseworthy report. And three things that are up here that we're going to see is that this praiseworthy report is filled with comfort. It's filled with things to be thankful for. And it is filled with areas to grow. Okay, Paul recognizes those three things, although he doesn't, you know, go into great details about all of them. He does recognize those three key things in this section. And so let's look at this to begin with, this aspect of filled with comfort. So in verses 6 through 8, we see that being filled with comfort involved faith. Okay, it involved faith. He said, Timothy has brought us good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. So the first thing here under that point number one is faith. He said, you're living by faith. That's exactly what we wanted to hear from you, is that you are living by faith. Despite the persecution, despite the hardships, yes, we understand that there people are dying. You have questions about those things. But listen, you are living by faith. And that's the thing. When we are in hardship, when we're in persecution, when we are suffering, there is normally something that happens to us. We are either driven deeper in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord, or we drive away from that. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area. When things get tough, when things get hard, we either run to the Lord or we run away from Him. And Paul is thankful that when things were tough, they weren't running away from the Lord. They were digging in and living by faith. We are oftentimes polarized very easy. I think we understand that and see that in our own culture today, in our own society, that we get polarized really quick. Persecution, hardships, suffering, do that in our own personal lives really quick. We become polarized. We either point our finger at God and we run away from Him, or we draw close to Him. If you were here in Sunday school, what did Job do when things hit his life really hard? He didn't run away from God. He drew near to God. He held on to that faith that he had in Jesus, or in God. Okay, and so understand that that's the two responses. And Paul was encouraged that their response was, you grew deep in that faith. Okay, and so the encouragement here for us is, hey, listen, when that happens in your life, dive deep into that faith and hold on to it. Do you always understand everything that's going on? No. Job is a perfect example of that. He didn't understand it. He didn't have to understand it. The thing that Job needed to do was do what? Hold on, you know, persevere, remember, live by faith. And that's exactly what Paul encourages us to do. We looked at it in the book of Ephesians. Listen, when the tough gets going, we're supposed to be people who are living behind that shield of faith. We don't step out from behind it. We stay behind that shield of faith. Good times, bad times, we live by faith. And so, like Paul encouraged the Ephesians, we too take up the shield of faith. Just like he is thankful for the life of the Thessalonians and how they were living by faith, we too are to live by faith. And so Paul, he stresses faith. And just like Paul, seeing believers live by faith, that excites me. That thrills my soul when people are living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own life. When they are living by faith, they're grounded in, yeah, they're going through a lot. Or maybe they're not even going through a lot. Maybe things are going really great in life, but they still live by faith. That thrills my heart. Because there is so much going on in this world that easily pulls you away, drives you away. And the encouragement from Scripture is to dive in, you know, get your feet, you know, dug into the ground and live by faith. And so you have that aspect of faith. Then he said, also because of their love. Now, if you know anything, if you can recall anything about Paul's writings and things like that, Paul harps on three things a lot. Faith, love. Anybody know what the other one is? What? Hope. Okay? He talks about those three things a lot. And here he talks about faith and love. And guess what Thessalonians also talks a lot about? Hope in Christ. So here you have faith and now you have love. Okay? Paul could really speak of their ministry. Why? Because they show love. They were not just people who said they had faith or, you know, pretended that they had faith. They were actually living out that faith in their life. They were exhibiting love. Love is what externally works in the light of our faith. If you say you have faith, there needs to be love. James described it the same way when he wrote, listen, you can talk about your faith all you want to. You can say how great of a, you know, how faithful you've been in all of these things. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to it, there needs to be that aspect of love that goes along with it. Why? Because that love is the external thing that works. Matter of fact, Paul stated of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these was love. Okay? He tells the Corinthians that, Paul could have had prophetic powers. Paul could have had wisdom. Paul could have had knowledge. And Paul could have had faith that moved mountains. But he said if he did not have love, he had nothing. All of it meant nothing. And Paul is trying to let you know and understand, hey, listen, you have to show love to one another. Love is an essential part of who God is. And without it, there would not be faith. Remember, what did Paul tell us in Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the greatest commands Christ gave to the disciples was to do what? Love one another. He also explained to the religious leader that the Ten Commandments could be broken down into two things. And this is in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37. He said to that man, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Yeah, faith is essential to our salvation and our growth, but love is vital in our relationship to God and with each other. Love. And so you have faith, you have love, and you also have hope. And hope is said in just kind of an unusual way here. In verse 6, he says, He's brought us good news of your faith, your love. And he says that you've always remembered us kindly and what? Long to see us. Long to see us. And Paul says, as do we long to see you. There's hope in that. You see the faith, you see the love, and you see the hope. And so in this, you see that past and expected future. You see that they remembered Paul kindly. Good memories of them when they were here. When Paul and Silas were there, the ministry that they had, they were like, we love it. The people in Thessalonica, they remember that ministry. But better yet, they long to have you come back. In other words, despite the hardships, despite the persecution and everything that they're going through, they want more of this. They want you to come back. And so Paul and Silas, they had brought them truth and hope. They had spent time with them. They cherished that time and they cherished the opportunity that they would be able to see them again. And guess what? It didn't matter if it was, you know, their present situation or if it was a future expectation, maybe even at the return of Christ. Whatever it was, they longed to see Paul and Silas again. And so in this first point, Paul was comforted by this praiseworthy report. And you are exactly doing what is essential. Faith, love, and there's hope. Keep it up. Keep doing it. You got to live by that. That's got to be a part of who you are, a part of your life. And he says, that brings me great comfort. I'm excited about that. Number two, he's filled with things to be thankful of. And as we continue, you know, the series here in Thessalonians, we're going to understand more of what Paul is thankful of. But when he expresses his thankfulness here in verses 9 and 10, he refers to it as a rhetorical way. He uses it as a question. He uses it as a question. Basically, he's saying, hey, listen, the depth and breadth of his thankfulness is just, I can't be more thankful. He said, how can I express my thankfulness anymore? I mean, my thankfulness is so deep, it's so wide, it's amazing. Paul's thankful. And this goes along with other things that Paul writes is, you know, Paul's a thankful person. And he encourages us to be thankful as well. Now, we don't know all of the details, but Paul kind of sums it up in the phrase, for the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. That's kind of the summation of the things that he's thankful of. Okay? But you kind of already know some of the things he's thankful of. Their faith, their love, and the hope that they have. But he's thankful for other things. And he kind of sums it up all in that one phrase, for the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. But notice that thankfulness is part of his prayer. This is part of Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. When he was writing to the Philippians, Paul stated that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thankfulness was always a part of Paul's life. And so Paul, he encourages us to come to the Lord with a thankful attitude. To the Colossians, he exhorted them to also be thankful when he said, be steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Pray. But when you pray, be thankful. I'm going to tell you, there's times in life it's hard to be thankful. Very hard. There's probably situations you've been in your life and you're like, I don't know how I could be thankful right now. But I'm going to have to find a way to be thankful. Thankfulness does something to us. And sometimes we don't realize what thankfulness does, but it humbles us. Thankfulness humbles us in such a way that says, hey, listen, it's not me. I can't do it. And I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Oh yeah, I was the one who went through the motions, the processes, and those kinds of things. Yes, I was the one who achieved this, you might say. But in the end, really, God, thank you, because it didn't have to happen. And thankfulness has a way of humbling us, has a way of putting us humble before the Lord, bringing us under Him. And so Paul said, I'm thankful. And Paul's recognizing that despite all the things that Paul did and Silas did in their ministry with them, Lord, I've come under you and I give you thanks for this because really it's to your praise and it's to your glory. It's not me. And so he said, hey, listen, he is filled with things to be thankful for. So in this report, he's been comforted. In this report, he expresses his thankfulness. And he also expresses the fact that there are also areas to grow. We got the report back. We know what's going on. But there are also areas to grow. And so in verses 10 through 13, he kind of points that out just a little bit. He says that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. It's like, I know there's some places, areas that need to grow. We can get there. We can do that. There's things that in your life spiritually that are lacking, we can help you with that. And he says, I look forward to being able to do that. And so just, you know, one area that he's kind of already mentioned or hinted at has to do with the Lord's return and the hope that they have in Christ. So we'll work on that. We'll work in the fact of that one of these days we'll all be resurrected. He said, we'll work on that. Just stay, you know, keep reading the letter, in other words, is basically what he's trying to say. And so as we go through the book of Thessalonians, we're going to talk about more of those things. Another area that you see here is found in verses 11 through 13. It speaks to our sanctification. And so in verses 11 through 13, it says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. So in that prayer, he says, listen, there's this understanding of continue to grow and increase in that love. You show love, you've exhibited, but you don't just stop right there. There's not a stopping point. Continue to grow in that. Okay, and then verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. There's also this area of sanctification. Positionally, because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith and trust and hope in him, positionally, we are set apart. We are sanctified before the Lord. But when we would say practically, or some would call it progressively, we are still living on this earth and living out our life. So whereas our relationship with God is solidified from that standpoint, we still have to live out this life. And the point here is that you continue to grow in that relationship with the Lord, showing yourself set apart, sanctified, okay, holy and blameless, okay? And so we see that aspect of, you might say, progressive sanctification or practical sanctification, where we are still living out in this life. We still, we have life throwing us all sorts of curveballs. We've got to navigate those things and live life, okay? And we have to do things the right way and set ourselves apart sometimes, which means we have to make decisions sometimes that other people may not like because it doesn't go with the status quo. And so we have to do those things at times. And he says, why do you do that? You do that because of what? The future hope that you have. That one day you can stand before the Lord, not ashamed, okay? But you can stand before him and with his saints, wholly blameless. In other words, you did what you could do and did it right. So while you're here and now, set yourselves apart. Strive, work at it. And he says, that's my prayer for you, is that even while you're now here on this earth, strive to be holy and blameless. Set yourself apart from the rest of the world. It will be a challenge. There will be pressure. There's going to be more of that persecution. There's going to be more of the hardships, the struggles. And so you see that is Paul's prayer. That's Paul's prayer. No matter the circumstances, the joy, the sadness, the ups or downs, Paul takes this to the Lord in prayer, and he takes it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. He is thankful that they've exhibited the faith, the love, and the hope in their lives. And the encouragement is for them to continue to do so. Now, this leads us to our two thoughts, you might say. To know Christ and to make him known. When we talk about knowing Christ is not just this aspect of, of salvation. It includes that, but it is also to know Christ is for us as a believer to grow in our relationship with him. And so just like Paul has told the Thessalonians, we need to be doing what? Living our life faithfully in love, Okay? So to know Christ is to live faithfully in love. We as believers should be doing that. We dig in, we live by faith, and we exhibit love. Love from God's perspective, of course. We exhibit that love, and that love is done in truth, the truth of who God is, His Word. Okay? And so we understand to know Christ is to live faithfully in love. Okay? But also you have this aspect of making Him known. When we dig in with that faith and exhibit that love, we are growing in that relationship too. And so we have to make Him known, be thankfully growing in Christ. And as you are being thankful, which is something that is kind of antithetical to what the world does, when you are thankful, people will notice that. They will see that. It's like, you're going through this in life. How can you still be thankful? Why? Because of the hope you have in Christ Jesus. So it starts to kind of tie all of these things together. Be thankful. Grow in that. Grow in that relationship with your that you have in Christ. Be thankful for things, even in the midst of hardship. And you will stand out. You will be set apart from the way the world normally responds and reacts to things. And you will make Him known by that. You will make Him known. To know Christ and to make Him known. To live faithfully in love. To be thankful in this growing relationship that you have in Christ. And those are things that Paul highlights kind of over and over throughout his letters, is this love and faith and hope that we have in Christ. And he hammers that in. He hammers that in. And hammers it in over and over and over again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You do love us. You've shown us that love toward us, and that while we were still sinners. And Lord, help us to grow in our relationship. Help us to increase, to abound. We thank You for the love You've shown us, and now help us, Lord, to exhibit that same love to those around us in this world. Help us to be thankful. Help us to bring glory and honor to You, no matter the circumstances that arise in our life. Help us to be thankful. We're thankful for Your mercy, Your grace. We're thankful for Your love. We're thankful that You are holy and righteous. We're thankful that You're just. We're thankful that You know the very things that go on in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, help us. Help us to turn to You. In this world that is in so much turmoil and trouble, where it seems like evil continues to prevail, and Lord, help us to dig in and live by faith. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that You have shown us. And we're thankful for this opportunity here this morning as well. It's to Your praise and to Your glory. Amen. Church, glory.